Sometimes in worship, we have what I have come to call a kitchen sink Sunday, when we have everything in worship except that proverbial kitchen sink, and today is one of those kitchen sink Sundays because in addition to our usual liturgy and hymns and children's message and prayers and offertory and anthems, we are also commissioning new Stephen ministers, confirming our confirmands, receiving new members, and hearing a minute for mission. Usually, in a service like this, something has to give, and I thought about eliminating the sermon altogether, and especially yesterday, I figured that at least half of you listened to Bishop Curry's wedding homily, so you didn't really need another sermon, but I only have four until I go on sabbatical, so I didn't want to deprive you of that opportunity. So instead, we have eliminated the second hymn, and I will be preaching a homily, which is really nothing other than a short sermon, so that we can get to coffee hour while it's still morning. But the more I've thought about it, the more that I think a kitchen sink Sunday is a pretty good way to celebrate Pentecost. After all, the story that we told from Acts 2 reminds us that what we're celebrating today is the infusing of the Holy Spirit into the hearts and minds of the followers of Jesus. To borrow an image from the children's message, today we celebrate that we have been connected to the divine battery of God. We've been set on fire with God's power. The breath of God has blown over us, refreshing us to do good work and pushing us out into the world, which really is our mission field. Since Easter, you've had the opportunity to hear the four of us each preach on who the Holy Spirit is, in our opinions. If you missed one of those sermons, you can go back and read them or listen to them on our website, but I'll summarize briefly. Eileen reminded us that the Holy Spirit breathed life into the church, the body of Christ, and it is in church and through church where we remind each other of the grace of God. I spoke about the Holy Spirit as Lady Wisdom and the wise Spirit helping us to discern right from wrong in our ordinary lives. Lori created images using different names for the Holy Spirit: God's tears, winds of change, great bridge builder, comforter. And just last week, Greg spoke about the Holy Spirit infusing us human beings to prepare us for better things in relationship to God. In a sense, you got everything but the kitchen sink and those sermons as well. And if you were to ask any of the four of us about our experience, I think each of us would say that it was both really pretty easy and a little bit difficult to put into words our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. But today, we get to remind each other not of who the Holy Spirit is, but of what the Holy Spirit does. If indeed, as Greg suggested, the Holy Spirit infuses us, what does that mean? If you and I are carriers for God's divine breath, if within each of us is the power to move mountains and change the world, what does that look like? Carrying the Holy Spirit inside of you might look like a Stephen minister meeting with her care receiver, offering a listening ear, compassion, a shoulder to cry on, presenting hope, and simply being present. Breathing out God's breath into the world might look like standing up in front of a congregation and saying, "Yes, I do believe in God, and I do turn away from evil, and I will show the love of Jesus in my life." That's what our new members are doing today, what members of this congregation have done for over 100 years. Living a Spirit-infused life might look like going back to the place where you spent your childhood and talking to the children and the grandchildren of your friends there and listening to what they're saying about their community and where they need help. That's what the Kurtz family has done with their childhood home of Ethiopia, bringing libraries and books and now solar power to that far-flung corner of the world that they once called home. What does your Spirit-infused life look like? How is God partnering with you? You, with all of your gifts and talents, with your time, even with your faults and inadequacies, how is God coming alongside of you and saying, this person over here needs to be reminded of my grace? How is God pushing you into the world and saying, this situation desperately needs to change, and you are going to be a part of making things better? How is God saying to you, through me, through my love and my power, you can do so much good for so many people? That's what God did with those first followers of Jesus 2,000 years ago. God's Spirit moved in and among them, and in their tiny, vulnerable community, they reminded each other of God's grace, even as they shared what they had, and they healed, and they blessed each other. God's Spirit moved in and among them, and they changed the world by creating the church, the body of Christ. They did so much good for so many people. I hope that years from now, people look back on Westminster and say, that congregation did so much good for so many people. I hope they see that we took care not only of each other, but of our neighborhood and of the Portland community, of our nation and our world. Maybe they will say that the Spirit empowered us to do what was needed so that our children could go to school without fear. Maybe they will say that the Spirit empowered us to work hard and find a myriad of solutions so that none of our sisters and brothers would have to sleep on the streets at night. Maybe they will say that we were ambassadors for peace, that we wished the peace of Christ on the world and brought peace to the world in ways both great and small. So may it be said of us, what was said of those first disciples long ago, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. To the glory of God. Amen.